Have you ever landed somewhere and thought, this runway has seen more history than most museums? I'm Tower, and this is ATIS on Radio Hangar. Today, we're heading north of the border to talk about five Canadian airports that have been open since before most of us were born, since before our parents were born. In some cases, since before commercial aviation was even a real thing. Today's segment is brought to you by AviationSoul.com. Aviation challenge coins built to mark the milestones, discipline, and pride behind every step in flight. From first solo to airline transport pilot, every coin tells a story. AviationSoul.com. So here's what got me thinking about this. We talk a lot about the future of aviation. New technology, new regulations, new airspace procedures, but sometimes it's worth looking at the places that have been holding it all together for 100 years or more. And Canada has some fascinating examples. Let's start with the one that arguably sits at the top of the list. Winnipeg James Armstrong Richardson International Airport. That's a mouthful, I know. Pilots know it by its identifier, Yankee Whiskey Golf. This airport traces its roots all the way back to 1920. 1920, think about that. The First World War had just ended. Barnstormers were still the main way most people ever saw an airplane, and Winnipeg was already building an aerodrome. The field started as a small grass strip, and over the decades, it grew into one of Canada's major international gateways. It was renamed in 2006 to honor James Armstrong Richardson, a Canadian aviation pioneer who founded what eventually became Canadian Airways. Today, it handles millions of passengers a year and serves as a critical hub for flights across the prairies and into the north. But it all started with a grass field in 1920. Next up, and this one might surprise you, Edmonton's Blatchford Field. Now, most people today know Edmonton's main airport as Edmonton International, but the original municipal airport, Blatchford Field, opened in 1926. It was one of the first licensed airfields in Canada. For decades, it was the primary airport serving Edmonton. It handled everything from bush planes heading into the Northern Territories to early commercial flights. The field was named after Kenny Blatchford, who was the mayor of Edmonton when the airport opened. Now here's the interesting part for anyone who's been tracking Canadian aviation history. Blatchford Field was absolutely critical during the Second World War and during the construction of the Alaska Highway. It was a staging point for aircraft being ferried to the Soviet Union through the Northwest Staging Route. American-built fighters and bombers would hop through Edmonton on their way to Alaska and then across to Siberia. Thousands of aircraft passed through. Today, the site has been redeveloped significantly, but the airport's legacy is woven into the fabric of Canadian aviation. Moving east, let's talk about St. Hubert Airport near Montreal. The identifier is Charlie Yankee Hotel Uniform. St. Hubert opened in 1927, and it has one of the most storied histories of any airport in Canada. This was the base for some of the earliest airmail flights in the country. It served as a major military installation during the Second World War, home to Royal Canadian Air Force operations and Commonwealth air training. After the war, St. Hubert became Montreal's primary commercial airport before Dorval, which we now call Montreal Pierre Elliott Trudeau International, took over that role. But St. Hubert kept operating. It's still active today as a general aviation and regional airport. If you've ever flown into the Montreal area for recreational flying, there's a decent chance you've touched down at St. Hubert. The runways that handled wartime fighters now handle Cessna 172s and Piper Cherokees. There's something poetic about that. Number 4. Ottawa and Rockcliffe Airport. This one opened in 1920 as a seaplane and landplane base for the Canadian Air Board, which was essentially the precursor to the Royal Canadian Air Force. Rockcliffe served as a military airfield for decades and was home to some of the earliest aerial photography and survey flights that literally mapped the Canadian wilderness. Today, Rockcliffe is home to the Canada Aviation and Space Museum. If you're a pilot and you haven't visited, put it on your list. The airport still operates, though primarily for museum-related flights and special events. It sits right along the Ottawa River, and landing there feels like stepping back in time. The hangars, the layout, the atmosphere, it's a living piece of aviation heritage. And finally, number 5. We go to the West Coast Vancouver International Airport, Yankee Victor Romeo. Now, Vancouver International is obviously a massive modern airport today. Over 25 million passengers a year in normal times, it's consistently ranked among the best airports in North America, but its origins go back to 1929, when the city leased land on Sea Island in the Fraser River Delta for an aerodrome. The location was chosen because it was flat, relatively fog-free compared to other parts of the Lower Mainland, and accessible by bridge from the city. The first terminal was modest, to say the least, a small wooden building. Compare that to the stunning terminal facilities there today, with the indigenous art installations and the aquariums built into the floor. but the bones of that airport, the fundamental decision to put an airfield on Sea Island that was made nearly 100 years ago. Here's what ties all of this together and why I think it matters to anyone listening. These airports weren't built because someone had a grand vision for modern commercial aviation. They were built because individual people, local governments, early aviators, they saw the potential. They carved out grass fields and seaplane bases and said, "This is where the future starts." And they were right. Every time you land at a Canadian airport that's been operating for 80, 90, 100 years, you're using infrastructure that was born from that same pioneering spirit that got most of us into flying in the first place. The runways are paved now. The Navades are digital. The control towers are sophisticated. But the fundamental idea, a flat piece of ground where airplanes can come and go, that hasn't changed. And for those of you planning any cross-border flying into Canada this summer, these airports are worth visiting not just as destinations, but as history. St. Hubert for the Montreal area general aviation scene, Rockcliffe for the museum alone, Winnipeg. If you're doing a cross-country and want to stop somewhere with real character, this one came from a piece over at Simple Flying, and it got me down a rabbit hole of Canadian aviation history that I did not expect. Good reading if you want the full rundown. That's your ATIS for today. More at radiohangar.com. Fly safe up there.